But then let's ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the goal, Lord, is to have your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To have your will done in all the universe, in all creation. Your will, and only your will, Lord. And you're working that in our lives. And we are thankful, Lord. We're thankful for your calling upon our lives to bring us to yourself, to bring us and allow us to make this journey towards union with you, Lord. Union with you in your bosom, as the Lord Jesus is now in your bosom. So, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for the praise report for Linda's nephew coming to hearing your call. Hearing your call, Father, to draw him to Jesus and his answer in the affirmative. So thank you, Lord, for that. And thank you for the reconciliation with the family. But more importantly, Lord, that he is willing to come under Belinda for mentoring, for discipling, so that he may know you, Lord, that he may know you more and more, and that he may learn to do all that you've commanded us to do, Lord. Lord, we lift up to you Mark Diaz, Lord. He is suffering with this liver problem, this liver issue, this high enzymes and kidney problems, Lord. Doctors are not sure what's going on or what's happening, Lord. I pray that you would give them wisdom on what's happening here, Lord. But most importantly, Lord, I pray that you would make your presence known in a very strong way to Mark, Lord. Let him know that you are there with him. Let him know that, give him eyes to see and ears to hear and just a sense of your presence with him, Lord, that he is not forsaken. And Lord, give him joy, Lord. He needs joy. He's been there 2 weeks and there looks like there's nothing, there's no end here of what's going on. Give him joy, Lord. Give him joy, your joy, that he might be able to endure under this trial, Lord. We do ask, Lord, that you would touch his body and heal his body, Lord, and strengthen him and cause or whatever is causing this, Lord, we pray that you would heal him. Heal him, Lord. That's what we're asking, Lord. But most importantly, we want your will to be done here, Lord. We want your will to be done in Mark's life, Lord, and his family, as they are struggling with this alongside him, Lord. May you be lifted up and may you be glorified in all of this, Lord. May he come through this trial with a greater knowledge of you, Lord, and a greater trust in you and faith in you. So thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Even in the midst where things seem dire or seem like we have no idea what's going on, Lord, you do. You do. And we can trust, Lord, that you have Mark well in hand. Be with his family. Give him peace. Give his family peace. And his extended family peace, Lord. As they look to you, as they trust you to walk him through this trial. Thank you, Lord. Fill him with your love and your spirit. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what it is you have for us tonight, Lord. We need a word from you, Lord. Because as Jesus said, Father, he said of you, he said that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to hear what is coming from you, what you're saying to us, Lord. And then help us, Lord, to walk in it, to walk it out, to obey. Help us, Lord, to have the faith that is needed, Lord, to live by your words, each and every day, Lord, to hear them, to understand, and to walk it. Thank you, Lord. We trust that you will give us what we need, Lord, not only through me standing up here, but through each one here, Lord, by your Spirit, you will speak. You will give the word that needs to be said, Lord. And it's about you, Lord. It's not about us. It's not about who we are and how good or not good or any of that, Lord. It's about you, Lord. And so help us, Lord, to see you and only you. In Jesus' name, amen. James 2, starting in verse 14. Let me see. This may be one of the ones where I want you to go to the King James, Bill. Let's do the King James. James 2, verse 14. The word the Lord gave me this coming up to this day was faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And it's I think a little more than what you might be thinking. I know it was for me in terms as he began to give me more insight into what he was saying or wanting. But faith without works is dead. This is one that I know that Martin Luther, back when, resisting or pushing back against the Catholic Church in all their religious stuff, and the Catholic Church was heavy into works. I'll put in quotes, quote unquote works. And Martin Luther was pushing against that. And I don't know if this is an urban legend or not, but evidently Martin Luther didn't like James because James had that phrase, faith without works is dead. So so I think we'll get into that a little bit. We'll get into that in terms of works. But, let's read. James 2, starting in verse 14, says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Okay. We know this little passage in Romans that says we are saved by grace, right, and not by works. Okay. So, again, so we got a possible dilemma here. Okay, can his faith save him if he doesn't have works? Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now, there's that alone that keeps getting used a lot of times. By faith alone. By faith alone. By faith alone. We just missed the middle part in there that says, faith without works is dead. So even so, verse 17, if it has not works, okay, is dead, being alone. You, a man, may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, a vain man, that faith without works is dead? Yeah, if we want to scroll up a bit. Yeah, thank you. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. By works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? What were her works? Well, we're going to see it. Yeah. When she received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead also. Now, James gives them an example of works. What example did he give of works in this passage? Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Earlier in the passage.
If somebody needs clothing and hungry,
yeah. Yeah, somebody needs clothing and
ignore them.
You don't ignore them. You feed them. You give them what they need. That is works. That's works, okay? That's works. Now, when we think of works in that sense, that's usually what we think of, right? Works, go out, feed the poor, clothe people. And that is true. That is true. And then, of course, as we go later, and as Bill was saying, when Abraham believed God, what did he believe God for? That he would see his son. So when he took him up, when God said, take him up and sacrifice him at a place I'll show you, which was ultimately where the temple was built, on Mount Moriah, something like that. Yeah. Yes, he had faith that God, even if he killed his son, sacrifice him as in obedience to the Lord, that the Lord would raise him up again. That's the faith he had. He had faith also in something else. The works that he did in this faith was, he took his son to go kill him. But he had another that is used a lot of times in the church in terms of just, there was no works done. God came to Abraham and said, he's going to have a son. He's going to give him a son, right? But it said, your descendants, okay, will be, look at the stars. They will be like the stars. And Abraham, as opposed to maybe me, I would have said, huh? What? Are you sure? what? He didn't. His immediate response was to believe God. That was his immediate response. So it's to believe God, and God counted that as righteousness. Now, was that a work that Abraham did?
Yes, he did.
Why?
Because belief is a work.
Okay.
It's an action.
Okay.
It is.
Very good.
You have to take that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to grab onto that.
Yes.
That's not something, yeah. You don't let it go by.
Mm-hmm.
He grabbed it.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
He very held it.
Yep. So that was a work. That was Abraham did a work. In that he, like you said, Belinda, he grabbed that promise from God and took hold of it. Okay? He took hold of it. That was a work in that sense. Even though he may not have done anything that you could see physically, but in his heart he did a work. He believed God. He believed God that, yes, God is going to do that. I can see all these stars are endless. Yeah, Bill?
Faith is the evidence of things not seen.
Very good. We're gonna get to that, because I'm still fumbling around with that definition. but yeah. So this idea that faith without works is dead. This idea of faith without works is dead is very, very important in terms of what God is bringing us into. Yes, Belinda, do you have a question?
I think it's when we pray, we must not just have words that come forth or petition the heavens to the Father, but we need a vision. We need to understand, in other words, when we pray, that it's real. In other words, that Father God has that power. And I think some of us, at certain times, I know I myself, thank God, have had that belief to see the end result, in other words. And I think that that's something we're coming into in this age where we have to do that more. You know, Lisa has always said we have to live in the supernatural because of what's to come.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's in Proverbs. It says, without vision or without a vision, the people perish. And God makes a promise. He says, will I not tell my prophets what I'm planning to do, what I'm going to do? So, yeah. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means all of us. In terms of our testimony of who Jesus is in our lives, has to do with prophecy. And what's prophecy? It's not, don't balk at that because you think, prophecy. I mean, I got to be some, gray-haired, wizened old man, with a big staff that comes up, thus saith the Lord. What is prophecy? What is it? Just definition, prophecy. What is it?
Things that is to come.
It can be, yes. Okay. But a more broader definition of prophecy.
Revelation of God's will to man.
Good. You're doing good, Sir Benny.
Foretelling.
Okay. See, now we're getting into the grizzled old man here coming to tell this is what's going to happen in the future. Yeah, that is prophecy. But what is it for the church? What did Paul say prophecy was?
To edify the church.
There you go, sir. Really? To edify the church. To build up the church. Okay. Edify, edifice. Right? The Greek words, right, Tony? Yeah. Edifice, building, build up the church. to build up the church. It's to build up the church. So as we speak, it also says, I believe it's in Hebrews, I think,
yes,
that we are to encourage one another,
yes,
to love and good deeds or good works. Okay? We are to encourage one another. So in encouraging one another, we're building up one another. We're helping to build up one another. So this idea of the spirit of prophecy is for all of us. It's not just, like I said, a thus saith the Lord. It is helping to build up. You come alongside and have a word from the... you don't even have to have a word from the Lord, per se. Yeah, but you come alongside and someone is hurting and you come in and give a word of comfort and so forth. That is, in a sense, the idea of prophecy, helping to build up the church. Tony?
The word prophecy in the Greek literally means to plant ahead.
You say plant or plan?
Plant. Plant.
Plant ahead.
Plant ahead. Prophecy devil. To plant ahead.
Plant ahead. Wow. Yeah. Looking for a harvest. Looking for a heart. I believe you. I believe you, brother. You are resident Greek scholar, so I believe you. The plant. No, I'm just thinking the idea of plant ahead. You know, you plant a seed, you plant a crop, or plant seeds,
plant
looking for,
or
the word. But yeah, you're planting for looking for a harvest down the end. Yeah, down the end. So yeah, that's good, and that's what God is looking for, right?
Yeah.
And the use of prophecy is He's looking for. He's planting a seed. He's planting the word, and He's looking for a harvest. What's the harvest that God is looking for?
Fruit.
There you go. Well, yes, sons, but fruit, looking at the analogy of farm or seed, he's looking for fruit. And what fruit is that?
It's deeds, behavior.
Okay, but more specifically, what fruit is that?
The Spirit.
Well, the Holy Spirit, yes, fruit of the Spirit, definitely.
So I have to tell you, I actually use that as an example to my family.
Oh, yeah?
Because I said, in order for them to go and forgive and embrace this young man and truly support him, which they were not willing to do in the flesh, I said, great fruit to be produced requires great labor and a move of your heart, which changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah,
they heard that. And as silly as it sounds, they heard that.
Yeah. Well, that was the Lord giving you wisdom and what to say to help. Yeah. So this faith without works. Well, what is faith? Bill gave us a bit of a definition there. I'm going to give a definition or maybe a couple of definitions of faith. I went to the Webster's 1828 Bible. Dictionary. Ooh, okay, thank you, Lord. And looked up the word faith. And, sorry, Tony, it's Latin here. Fides, fido, to trust. Oh, there's Greek. To persuade, to draw towards anything, to conciliate, to believe, to obey. In the Greek lexicon, here we go, Tony, of heteric, it is said the primitive signification of the verb is to bind and draw or lead, as signifies a rope or cable. But this remark is a little incorrect. The sense of the verb from which that a rope and binding is derived is to strain, to draw, and thus bind or make fast. A rope or cable, that is, which makes fast, which is out of Hebrew. Okay. All right. After all.
Here's one. Foretelling future events pertaining to the kingdom.
That's a...
prophecy.
That's a... are you talking about prophecy?
Yes.
Oh, prophecy. Okay. Yeah. 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 Foretelling. Yeah. It'd definitely be that. Now, getting back to faith, yeah, strong trust in God, definitely. The first definition I have here is belief. Faith is belief. The assent of the mind to the trust, assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity. Without other evidence, the judgment that what another states or testifies is the truth. And here's an example. I have a strong faith or no faith in the testimony of a witness or in what an historian narrates. So this idea of faith is belief. Now, we're just saying the definition, the straight definition of it. Let's not think about it in terms of the Bible or whatnot. Just faith in itself. So you can have faith in a lot of things, okay? Faith in a lot of things. In your mind, that you believe what someone is telling you is the truth. And so you have faith in that, or no faith in that. I have no faith in what they're saying. You've heard that phrase, right? I have no faith in that person. I have no faith in that, whatever it is. Or I have faith in what they are going to do or what they're saying. Or I have faith in them. Faith is a belief in what they're saying. The second definition here is the assent of the mind to the truth of a proposition advanced by another, belief or probable evidence of any kind. Okay, so this idea of faith. We can have faith in a lot of things. Okay, and before we come to Christ, and even while we're struggling in Christ, we have a lot of things. We have faith in a lot of things, don't we? We have faith in money. We have faith in jobs. We have faith in other people. We have faith in skills or abilities. We have faith in
information.
Yes, in information, definitely. Definitely. That's a big one. We have faith in a lot of things. The social media, I'm going to call it for what I think it is, the social media monster that we have nowadays. We have a lot of faith in, and because of that, it causes us a lot of turmoil. And I spoke to that here a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago about that in terms of what I hear in the news or what I see going on in the government and things like that. Yeah, it's a belief in something. So faith, we religious people, when we think of faith, we only tend to think of it religiously. But faith can be in anything. Even in the church, we have this idea of faith, this doctrine of Faith, believe. Just believe it. Just believe it. If you say it, it's true. By faith you can make something happen. By faith you can get this. We've heard the faith movement. You just name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. It's the fact, do you have faith? Faith. That's it. Faith. Do you have the faith? Basically, to get what you want. Do you believe it? And if you believe it, it can happen. It will happen. That's, again, we can have faith in anything. So what is this faith that God has in the Bible, that this faith that is in the Bible when it says faith, when James says faith, when Paul says faith? What is the faith that they are talking about? What is that faith?
Strong conviction.
That can be anything. That's faith. Strong conviction, strong belief.
Say trust in the Father.
Okay, that's the faith they're talking about. To have a
trust in the Father.
Trust in the Father is what she said. Yes. In Scripture, in the Word, when they mention faith, they're talking about faith in a person. Faith in someone who is bigger than we are. Tony?
It's a persuasion that there is a God.
That is part of the definition, to persuade. That's the Greek, actually. Mm-hmm, I did. Yeah, that's all right, because you were still looking at prophecy, but that's all right. Yeah, it's the Greek of faith is to persuade. Yeah, to persuade. Yeah. But it's Sir Benny?
It's the confidence in God.
Confidence in God? Okay. Confidence in God? Yeah. It's looking at this faith, this to persuade, to draw, to this belief in God. In God, yes. And it's not just a belief in God, because as we read, there's devils that believe in God. Okay. But they don't have faith. They don't have faith.
The Greek word for they shudder is they froth. They froth from the mouth.
Froth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't call them devils, it calls them demons.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the better word for it, demons. Yeah. 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 But they don't have a faith in God. They don't have a faith, but they, in a sense, they do believe. Obviously, they believe.
They know
who he is, but they don't have a saving faith in that sense. They don't have a saving faith. So faith in the Scriptures that James talks about and Paul talks about and even Jesus talks about is a faith in God, a belief in God. And here's the theological definition of faith here out of the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. It says, the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed, simple belief of the Scriptures, of the being and perfections of God, and of the existence, and of the existence, character and doctrines of Christ, founded on the testimony of the sacred writers, is called historical and speculative faith, a faith little distinguished from the belief of the existence and achievements. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. I was giving an example of what faith is. Never mind. So, this idea of faith in God, his characters, understanding, the understanding of who he is, what he is, which is very important in terms of our faith. We believe in God. We have a faith in God. There's a scripture that talks about, well, let's go to Galatians 2:16, please, Bill. This faith, this idea of faith, it's not just a thing. It's not a magic spell, okay? Like in the faith movement. Just believe. I believe, and I'll get it. You know, if I have enough faith, I can get this. You know? No, that's witchcraft. That's not what God wants. So, Galatians 2, starting in verse 16, says, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Okay. Can we go to the King James? I need to go back to what? The one above it, the verse 15?
Because it says something that's very significant. He's talking to the Jews.
We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles.
And I don't quite understand sinners of the Gentiles. I don't get that.
Neither do I.
I do not get that. Knowing that a man...
Okay, but knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. What law is he talking about?
The law.
The law, with the big L, the law, Moses' law, okay, that law, okay? A man is not justified by Moses' law, but by faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what I wanted out of the King James, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. What does that mean?
The faith that was brought by Jesus Christ.
The faith that was brought by Jesus Christ, Sir Benny says. Okay, all right. But by, okay, that I can see that. Belinda?
So if you have a, this is what God showed me as you were speaking. You know, it's always been said, it was prophesied that Jesus himself said, you will do things greater than what I do.
Right.
And I've always wondered, how could that be? And how would that be? But I think God just taught me. If we trust in him and we have that faith, that confidence, tremendous leaning into him, then guess what? Those things will come out. They will be operated in our lives.
Yeah.
So it was that day-to-day prayer and working with the Father, just leaning, listening. And then he went out to the people. He was bringing the bread of life to them every day. And that's how he brought about the healing and the understanding of what they needed and thinking. Mm-hmm. He knew.
Okay.
How to discern.
Okay. So I assume you're answering my question about what is the faith of Jesus Christ?
That's what I am.
Okay. All right. I definitely see that. The faith of Jesus Christ. What would be Christ's or Jesus' faith? Belinda had a big part of it already. She said, leaning on the Father.
Like you said, in the bosom of the Father?
Yep. Totally leaning on the Father. What did he say to his disciples and to those that were looking to stone him? He says, I can do nothing, right? I can do nothing except what I see or hear the Father doing. I can do nothing. John 6, he says that I live by the Father or because of the Father. In other words, he is saying I exist only because of the Father giving me life, basically. So he was expressing his faith in the Father. So the faith of Jesus Christ. So knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So the faith of Jesus Christ, he is justified by believing what? In terms of this faith of Jesus Christ. How is he justified? How is a man justified? He's not justified by the Moses law, by the law. What's he justified by then? I know it says by the faith, but what is that? What is the faith of Jesus Christ?
Abraham believed God to take his son to that mount that day. He knew he had the confidence of the Father that he would bring him through it. And I think that that's the same thing that Yeshua had to have felt about his father when he went out to minister, when he went out to even go to the cross. Mm-hmm. He had to believe him. Is that what? And justified meaning that the Father would receive it. Mm-hmm. In other words, he loved him for that. He took him to his bosom.
Okay. So we are justified then by the faith of Jesus Christ. Tony?
Through the faith of Jesus Christ. The Greek word is through, not by.
Okay, through the faith, okay. By, through the faith.
But through the faith of Jesus Christ. Is there a difference between through and by?
Depends on the context, really.
So faith comes from Jesus Christ, correct?
Basically, is what it's saying. Faith comes from Jesus Christ by the faith. We're justified by the faith. As Belinda was is getting the word from the Lord here that faith means leaning into God, leaning into the Father. Yes, Belinda.
So it says declared or made righteous in the sight of God. So being justified, you are made righteous because he knows it. He delights in the fact that we believe him. We trust him on that.
Mm-hmm.
For the word that's given to us.
Okay.
And we hold on to it.
Okay.
I think he delights in it. That's where he gets a big kick out of us, if you will.
Oh, that sounds
sure. Oh, no. Well, there's a scripture that says that we cannot please God. We cannot please God without what?
Faith.
Without faith. Okay. Without faith. So, yeah, I think he does get a kick out of it when we do. Without faith. So, let's continue on. Knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Okay, I think we'll stop there. So by the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of him, are we justified? The faith in the Father, leaning into the Father, like Belinda said, that I like that, the leaning into the Father and who he is. This faith. And this faith without works. In other words, faith, we say, is a belief. Okay, Abraham believed God when he told him he would have descendants that were like the stars, that numbered the stars. He believed God when God said, take your son to sacrifice him. So here's another thing about faith. Faith is belief, definitely. He believed God. He trusted God that God would raise Isaac if he killed him and sacrificed him on this, and sacrificed him. But what else did faith result in for Abraham? What else did faith result in? How did we know that Abraham had faith in God to go sacrifice his son? Say it again, Sir Benny. He what? You said it. Oh, you said what? I'm sorry. I thought you said something else. Yeah, he obeyed.
He said that that the Father would provide
the sacrifice.
Yeah.
He said it to Isaac. Because Isaac had
a question. He's like, where's
what's going on?
Where's the sacrifice? Well, yeah, God would provide. And even knowing, again, based on what the scripture said, even knowing he told Isaac God will provide, even knowing that if he had to kill his son, that God would raise him up again. So he had faith in God for that.
Is
but obedience, faith, obedience.
Is faith a gift from God?
What do you think? Is faith a gift from God? What do you think, Sir Benny?
I would say yes.
You would say yes? And I think you would be correct. Because
it just doesn't come it should come from God.
Well, if we're talking about faith in God, okay, yes, it's definitely a gift. Because if God didn't want to be known and didn't want us to know who he was or that he even existed, could we know by our own little feeble pea brains figure it out?
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So, yes, faith in God is a gift from him.
Okay. Okay, I got it.
Uh-oh, what you got, Tony?
After all that digging here, it's spelled out.
Well, okay, what are we looking at?
By faith of Jesus Christ, in the Greek is, except unless through faith of Jesus, except unless, but by. Got it? Literally, that's how it's written in it. Except unless through faith of Jesus Christ. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, except unless through faith by Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
One more time. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, except unless through faith of Jesus Christ. That's how literally it is in the Greek.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Except unless through faith. So this, but by faith of Jesus Christ, only unless means only through faith.
Okay.
Except unless.
Right.
Except unless. And me. Except unless me.
Okay.
Are we there?
Is that Jesus' faith in the Father or our faith in Jesus Christ?
It's our faith.
Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ. So we're saying through the faith of Jesus Christ. He's
that
the Lamb.
That includes, I believe, now this is Tony's, not only the Father, but the Son.
Yeah. Because the Father gave the Son as a sacrifice for our Savior.
Because they're one, Benny.
I want to add something to that. Because you can receive faith as a gift. It's like having somebody gave you a car and you left it in the garage and you didn't use it. Guess what? It's not being utilized. That was a great gift. Okay? Mm-hmm. I think the same thing happens is that we must practice. We must put it into, if you will, into operation. We must work it through. Because many times I think people are given faith and yet, and not necessarily, it's kind of like a talent.
Yeah.
Given talents, but do we use them? Do we put them into, do we deploy them?
Yes. That is very, very good, Belinda. You're right. So, yes, faith is a gift from God, but you're right. If we don't use it, which is why James says faith without works, okay? Faith without it coming out in some type of operation, if you will, is dead. It's dead and will not save you. Okay? As the church likes to say, you are saved only by grace, not by works. Period. Boom. You know, James is saying, no. Faith by works. Okay? Faith by works. But faith without works is dead. Bill?
Looking unto Jesus, the author and minister of our faith.
So, yeah. The author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is our author, is the author and finisher of our faith, which would fit this Galatians 2:16.
Yes.
He's the author. In other words, Jesus is saying, here's my faith, okay? Here's my faith, okay, which I give to you. Here's my faith that I give to you, okay? He brought, yes. Yeah, very good.
It quotes over here, but it doesn't. Matthew 20, the except unless, but by faith, as it were. But it doesn't have a verse in Matthew 20 with the except unless. It says Matthew verse 20.
Well,
what chapter? Though?
Well, if you can find it, let us know. But
yeah,
let's.
It's like a what do you call it with the. A parallel of scripture? Is that what you call that? A parallel? When one scripture
runs along
with
the same frontage road.
You mean like a verse that it says something that's similar to the other one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. They have parallel versions. Okay. We're getting close to time here, so let's move on. No, Tony, you're fine. No, that's That's fine. No, it helps. Okay, so we understand faith. Faith is a gift. Faith is dead if we don't operate it or work it out, like Belinda said. It's dead. It won't save us. Okay? In Habakkuk, it says that the just shall live by faith. And three other places it talks about the just shall live by faith or the righteous shall live by faith. How do we live? We live by faith. Faith in what? Or whom? In Messiah, in the Father. In our case, specifically in Messiah. We live by faith in Him. Works. Okay. So with... Yeah, Bill. Mm-hmm.
You used the example of the demons, devils that believe in God, but they don't have faith. And the example you gave earlier about faith without works being dead. So it occurs to me that the belief in God is a dead faith in the sense that it does not produce any working faith on the part of dark spirits.
Okay. Yeah. Good point. Good point. Because actually, I was kind of thinking that as we're talking about that. Yeah. Because in a sense, by definition, the demons do have faith in the sense that they believe God, that God exists, but they don't have the ability or the living faith. Yeah, the ability to work it out in terms of a saving faith. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Works. Okay. So faith without works is dead. In other words, James is saying faith without works is not going to save you. All right. So what are the works that that James is talking about? Now he specifies in his writings, talking about feeding the poor and clothing and so forth. And I believe that God is saying, yes, those are works. But I think there are, I don't want to say more important. That's not quite the word I'm looking for, or I think that's not quite the right word. But there are works, okay? What are works that are available? What are works that are done or manifest, should I say, in us? Before we come to Christ, and as I was saying earlier, before we come to Christ, and then even after we come to Christ, and as we're struggling in Christ, we have a lot of faith in a lot of things, okay? And if we can go to Galatians 5, I think it's starting in verse 22, I think it is, Bill. Galatians. No, the one before that. So starting in 19. All right, in verse 18 is an important axiom or what?
Qualifier.
But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Again, your justification. What's your justification? Being led by the Spirit. Okay, 19. Here are some works, okay? The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Or we can put it another way. The works of the sinful nature are obvious. The works of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. No one has, right? Nobody has a question about what that, especially in America, maybe even in our own lives, sexual immorality. Okay, that is a work, huh?
It's uncleanness.
Well, yes, but in specific, it's sexual immorality.
Sexual uncleanness.
It's sexual uncleanness, yes. It's, yes, and unfortunately, we know all about that, unfortunately. It's a work. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of who?
The flesh.
Of the devil.
Of the devil.
The devil, yes.
He came to destroy the works of the devil, which is, that would include our flesh. Yes, definitely. Because it's in our flesh. Okay, the works of Satan are in our flesh. Sexual immorality is in our flesh. Okay? All right? So it's works that comes out of that. Impurity, uncleanness, okay? Debauchery, you know. Yeah. What's debauchery? Yeah, partying, revelry, you know.
Orgies,
yeah. Whoa. Okay, let's not throw each other under the bus here. Okay. Idolatry, the works, okay? The works of Satan, the works of our flesh, idolatry. How many of us have idols other than God? Okay? Idolatry. Yeah, I do too. God is working on them. Witchcraft is prevalent, not only in the world, you know, but in the church, okay? It is prevalent. And what is witchcraft? And I'm not talking about spells and witch's brew and all that. What is witchcraft?
Manipulation.
There, in a word, Sir Benny, manipulation.
Manipulating.
Trying to get your way, to take advantage of. Do, you know, when somebody goes to a witch to do a spell, what are they doing? They're asking that witch to manipulate something or someone to their advantage. Okay? We do it all the time, right? In our flesh. We manipulate, we work the moves, we, you know, to try to get, you know, our little whatever, or sort of plant or whatever, you know, that's witchcraft, okay? Yeah, so we religious people can't sit here and be pious and say, oh, that's not me, when we do it every day, okay? Hatred, okay? Discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, all of these things. These are works, okay? And dissensions, factions. Oh, hey, don't go with them people over there. They believe, in, you know, whatever.
Discord, similar to dissension?
Similar. It creates division.
Yeah. Start with D-I-S, right?
I guess. okay. Envy. How many times do we envy? So-and-so. I'm talking about in the church. So-and-so. How come they get to do such and such? How come they blah, 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 da, da, da. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. What does it mean, and the like?
Things similar to things.
Similar to those.
Well, more than that. It means that there's... This is not an exhaustive list. There's many more other works, okay, of Satan of the flesh. Yeah, Tony.
Yeah, there's 15 over here, works of the flesh, and the Greek is 17. So he's right, there's more.
That's what he means by and the like. It's kind of a legalese. It's like legalese that says basically, you know, this, and the like. In other words, there's more other things that we're just not saying what they are.
It's like saying et cetera, et
cetera. Yeah, you can say it that way as well, too. Yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so those are works, okay?
Yes.
They're works. So when James is talking about having faith with resulting in works, is he talking about these works?
No, he's talking about good works.
Oh, good works. Oh, I wonder what the good works are.
Works is also behavior.
What? Tony.
It could be.
Tony. Works is behavior?
Behavior.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't it?
Is he blasphemy? Works is behavior? No, you're not wrong. You're right. But unfortunately, in the church, as in large, they say that basically, because of grace, we don't really have to worry about our behavior. Yeah, but you're right. Works is our behavior. I mean, the things we just mentioned are behaviors. Okay. So let's look at some other works that I think that James is probably talking about, right? Let me finish the verse in 21 and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. Not inherit the kingdom of God. We in the church, we've been so blinded, if you will, that, you know, we just need to get our ticket to go to heaven. We're good. Don't have to worry about anything. Paul is saying, no, no, no. Okay, you know, in Acts it talks about through many hardships, through much tribulation, do we enter the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom. Jesus says, seek ye first, not heaven. Okay, it says kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, it's the kingdom of God. What was the gospel that Jesus preached when he started his ministry?
The kingdom.
What did he preach?
Repentance.
Repentance, because
the kingdom is coming.
The kingdom is near. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is okay. The kingdom. He preached the kingdom of God. Repentance, but the kingdom of God. Belinda, did you have something?
I believe that Christianity is lazy.
No.
It is because, you ready? They don't think that they have the responsibility to actually do something about their behavior or their character because this is what I've heard from a lot of Christians, that if God wants to have me change that, God will do it.
Yes.
And that is, I've heard this repeatedly.
That's the thinking, that's the doctrine, if you will, that is what has been the hyper grace, I call it the hyper grace doctrine, has taught us, it's taught us to be lazy. So, yeah, Tony?
Unless the Lord build the house, those who build it.
Build it in vain.
Build it in vain. So, it's the sword of the Lord in Gideon, as far as the
mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a part that God does, but then there's a part that's expected from us to do. How do we respond to the part that God is doing?
Right.
See what I'm saying? So right. We just can't sit back like you know and wait for it to fall on our lap. No, you got to put your foot out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Make there has to be a response. Abraham had a response when it. God just told him he would have descendants like the stars. But he had to have a response. His work was to believe God. He didn't doubt God. He believed that was the work. Okay, let's look at some works that I think James is talking about, that God is talking about in James. Let's put it that way. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit... No, this is Galatians.
Yeah, Galatians. But this is Paul, isn't it?
This is Paul, yeah.
Saint James.
I said, let's look at some works... That I believe James is talking about, or I said that God is talking about in James, is not just feeding the poor and clothing. Thank you, Bill. Okay, so, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay. Is that a work?
A lot of work.
All right, there we go. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It is a work. if we just look at the definition of love in the scripture in 1 Corinthians, right? Is there anything in there about having a warm and fuzzy?
No.
Is there anything about feeling having a chill kind of come down the back and up the little, you know,
butterflies?
Is there anything in that about the definition of love about being Twitter-pated, you know? Okay. Heart throbs and all these, yeah, yeah.
Love is not rude and love is not envious. It's over there.
Yeah, it's already there.
Yeah, love is not envious. Love is patient. Love doesn't consider wrong done to, you know, so you're right, Belinda. Love is hard, but it's an action. It's how you act. Jesus says, love your enemies. And unfortunately, we think in our mind, oh, I got to love my enemy. If Sir Benny's my enemy. I got to go love him. So I got to go here and hug him and kiss him. And you know, no, the love your enemy means that you treat him kindly. Okay. That you, if he needs food, you feed him. If he needs clothing, you clothe him. If, you know, that's loving your enemy. Okay. But it doesn't mean you have to be affectionate to him.
By doing so, you accumulate burning coal.
That's another aspect of it. But yeah. Okay. So love. Okay. Joy. To have joy. Again, I think that's another gift that God gives us. Is joy, but it's joy to have to respond with joy. Okay, that's from God. Peace, Okay? Peace, to walk in peace. Patience. That's a major one that Jesus talks about to one of the churches about patience, being patient, and that God rewards those who are patient. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, very important. Gentleness, to be gentle. We tend to want to be, get your act together. Right? That's the way we are, right? And it, but Jesus was gentle.
Not all the time.
I'm talking. No, I'm not. Yes.
A weak man.
Whoa. Okay. See here. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. See, we've got a definition in our mind about what gentleness is. Okay. We think gentleness is weakness. In the scripture, it talks about Moses being the meekest man in the earth. And we think, what is meek and what is gentle? Oh, he's some kind of milquetoast little wimp, that kind of, you know, that's not actually, it takes a lot of strength to be gentle.
Oh, yes.
Because a weak man will blow off the handle because that's the way I'm feeling right now. As opposed to, Lord, help me, and that I may be gentle to this man, that I may be gentle. A horse, and I'm not going to call us horses or animals, but a horse is very strong, very powerful, but yet when they are, for lack of a better word to say, when they are broken and under the master and obeying the master, they are very gentle, very gentle. But nobody looks at the horse and say, oh, he's gentle. He's just a little milquetoast little thing. No, they look at it and say, this is a powerful animal, but he's gentle. It's a good characteristic to have. Okay? Okay? Okay, gentleness. Okay, here's one. Here's one that you probably hope would you never have to hear or see or anything. Self-control. Oh, Lord, of all the things, Lord, self-control. Self-control, again, is that a work? Again, I exercise. Benny looks at me wrong, and I'm ready to fly at him and just, you know, rage on him. But by God's grace, by God's spirit, I exercise self-control, and I just say, hey, Benny, how you doing? Okay? Self-control. Or you know a number of reasons where self-control would be works in terms of our lives and what God would want. Tony.
Lord, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit over here, these are all virtues that are gifts from God. But, yes, we have to respond to them. Self-control, for example. God will help us to, you know, we ask for self-control. God, help me to control myself, control my temper, control my this and that. But then if there's an outburst of anger, it doesn't mean that God hasn't helped us. He has helped us, but we squandered away his gift of self-control.
Or, yes, or as God is working on us, he allows a situation to come up that, if you will, pushes that button. That brings up anger. So it's not that God didn't do anything the previous time. It's that he's still working on it. There's still more to be done. And so when that happens, you say, Lord, thank you for showing that's in me. And I repent of it. And Lord, take that out of me. And so you move on. And so eventually as God begins to crucify that anger, okay, that selfish, fleshly anger, put it to death, exactly, then he got, you know, more of the fruit of the Spirit, that's gentleness and kindness, is put in us, okay? Self-control and so forth. Okay, I am way out of time, Bill was telling me. And there are works. So faith without works is dead. So there are works that are to be done in faith. Okay? And we just, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is one. But as Tony said, it does come from God. God is the one that does the work. Otherwise, if we did the work, if, oh, okay, I did this, 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 and so I got gentleness. Or I did this, this, and this, and I got, who gets the glory? Actually, who takes the glory? We do, yes. But we do, we respond to God, we obey God, we repent, we confess our sins, and God cleanses us of all unrighteousness, and he fills us with his virtue. He feeds us with his blood and with his body. And as he does, we have fruit. We have fruit that is, put in us, grown in us. Tony.
I know we're out of time, but could we look at verse 16?
Verse 16? Look at verse 16. Well, while we're going to verse 16, I just want to say that there's some other works, too, that the Lord wants to emphasize as we draw closer to the end of this age. Okay, verse 16, Tony says. It says,
where was it that were we except unless that we saw, was that in James?
That was the faith of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That was back in Galatians. Yeah, that
2:16.
That was back 2:16. In
2:16.
In Galatians. Yeah, 2:16.
Thank you.
Do we need to go back there, or can we?
It's in James 2.
Do we need to go back there, or are we good, Tony?
It's in James 2.
Are we good? Do we need to go back there?
Can we go back there? Okay, the cross reference. Yeah. We don't even have to go back there.
Okay.
The cross reference to that, you know, an identical except unless, is found in Matthew 5:20. Except unless. Identical phrase.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was thinking, the cross reference.
So 5:20. Real quick, you don't have to go there, Billy.
Matthew 5:20, and the interpreter did not interpret it like the Greek.
For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God.
Unless only it abounds.
Yeah.
Your righteousness. Unless only. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So the Pharisees had works, right? But Jesus is saying here with this, he's saying, unless your righteousness surpasses their works, okay, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God, okay? So with that segue, thank you, Tony. Here's some other works that God is looking for that's based on our faith in God. It's that we are to die. We are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow God. We are to walk in repentance always. As the Holy Spirit shows us our deeds, we are to repent of them. And these are works. We are to seek God with diligently. It says if you seek him diligently, what will happen? He will be found. You will find him. You will find him. So that's the works that God is wanting. That's the works that God is wanting us to work out in our lives as we're coming to the end of this age, as we draw closer and God is providing more opportunities through tribulations, afflictions, troubles, all these things that are coming with the purpose of making us like his son. And so these are the works. Without these works, our faith is dead. Our faith is dead. And you will not save yourself. Your faith is dead. Okay? But the faith is in God that he will accomplish, that he will finish. He's the author and finisher of our faith. All right, Lord. So, said faith without works is dead, is what James says. So, faith with works is live. Is live, yeah. All right. Let's close. Dear Jesus, Father. Oh, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the faith of Jesus Christ. Thank you. It is a gift, Lord. It is a gift. And like any gift, if we don't utilize it, if we don't respond to it, if we don't, in a sense, operate it, as the word was used, or practice it, it does us no good whatsoever. And so, Lord, help us. Help us as Paul says, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And as Jesus says, to endure to the end, that we might be saved, that we might be one with you, in union with you, that we might enter the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, help us to come out of the deception that is rampant in the church, Lord, that we don't have to do anything. But help us to be like Abraham, who had faith in you, believed you, and walked it out in obedience to you, Lord. So help us, Lord, by your Spirit, each and every day, knowing that your mercies are new every morning, and that you are kind, that you are long-suffering, that you are with us, and that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that you will bring us through all the afflictions. You said many are the afflictions, and another word for that would be tribulations. Many are the afflictions of the saints, but you bring them through and deliver them through each one, from each one. So thank you, Lord. Help us to look to you each day, and help us by faith to have the faith of Jesus Christ, who leans upon you, Father, leans into you, Father, each and every day. Amen.